Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Super Bowl. Best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. Big Super Bowl party going on at the Suits coming up this weekend. Huge. This year, he's hoping for some attendance. All right. No?
The more the merrier, yeah.
Oh, believe me. The attendance at last year's, which was one. But big Super Bowl parties. I mean, are you doing a Super Bowl party?
At my place, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
No, just was weird. On the down low at our place. But I'll be watching it. We're stocked up and ready to go already.
Well, I'm in Chicago. So I'll be at the hotel. And I don't know if I haven't even talked to Pat yet about what, if they want to watch, he'll watch the game. I mean, I know he will. Some of the players will watch the game. So I don't know if we're going to do it as a group or I'll just sit in the hotel room and watch it myself, whatever. But, I mean, I'm absolutely watching the game. I'm looking forward to watching the game.
Yep, me too. Better half, I don't think. She'll probably dart in and out of the living room and hear something going on. She'll, take a glimpse.
A glimpse?
Look for a funny commercial or something.
And I saw previews of the commercials. You can tell her from me that it'll be a long wait on the funny ones. All right, so...
I think there was a show on NFL Network that came on. It was either last night or the night before at 10 o'clock. It was a full hour of the commercials. Some of the best of all time. And
yeah, it was Danny Ruoff and Boomer Esiason. I saw it.
Yep.
Kathy and I watched that. We actually watched it the other night. We're just like sitting there like, okay, fine. we'll watch this. Why not? So we did. For a little bit. It was fun. Some of the old commercials, there are some of them were like, I remember the first time I saw them, I thought, wow, that's really stupid. And when they replayed them the other night when we watched it, it confirmed my initial thought. And then there were some others that were an absolute riot. Some were an absolute riot. Like, that is great. Oh. Yeah. The days of the commercials, halftime show, all the stuff surrounding it, I think those days have come and gone. And the reason those days have come and gone, Sean, is that the games become good. You had so many Super Bowls that ended up being blowouts that I think it then became, like, okay, what else is there besides this?
That's all we ask for. One great football game to wrap up the NFL season. And it has been a while since we've had an out-of-hand game. Probably at least, 4 or 5 years? It's been a while, so I'm kind of concerned that we're overdue for a snoozer.
I kind of felt like Carolina and Denver was kind of, the Super Bowl 50 was, it was close enough, but it wasn't really a compelling game, I guess. Obviously, the Peyton Manning thing winning at the end. Okay, fine. But Seattle and the Patriots, compelling. I'll tell you, Seattle-Denver was not compelling.
Yep, that's probably the last, that's one I think
that's
of.
That's the last one where you looked at and went, that wasn't a good game. That was the one at the Meadowlands. And it turned out, I remember they were worried about how cold it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a night. It actually turned out to be decent. It was in the 40s.
Thankfully, the big storm happened the next day.
Yeah, the next day it happened. And media day, which was, I want to say it was a Monday. It was at the Prudential Center where the Devils play. And I covered that. Remember, we had the segments we had on from that. And I had to go from there. I had to drive from there to Columbus to do basketball the next day. So I went from State College, drove to Newark, covered that, drove from Newark to Columbus. And it was 9 degrees that morning. And we had to stand outside and wait, and they sent us to the wrong entrance. Well, when you're sent to the wrong entrance and you're outside and it's 9 degrees, okay, that is an issue. From way back when. Oh, well. So that's this weekend. We will get to it a little bit later in the show today and talk about that. But you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet. Get yourself ready for the big game. And we'll carry the Super Bowl, correct? Westwood
yep.
coverage?
Yep. Airtime for us will be 2 p.m. on Sunday. Get things rolling.
2 o'clock. Well, what do you got to talk about for 4 hours? It's a football game.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about? Well, the Brewers Outlet specials.
I had something to talk about right there.
Bud and Bud Light 30 packs, $18.88. Reds, Wicked, Sour Apple, and Watermelon. Sounds good. 12 packs, $7.97.
That's a great
deal. Labatt and Labatt Light, 16 ounce, 24 packs, $19.95. Pacifico, 12 pack cans, $4.95. Okay.
Shout out to our buddy Corey Fossold. He's currently en route to the Jordan Center as we speak.
Wrestling tonight, and we're going to talk with Jeff Byers about this. Again, I think it's important to have these conversations, and I'm going to do this with Jeff. I'm going to talk to Jeff about the things we've been talking about this week. Okay? Do not be in your own cocoon when it comes to your sport. You've got to realize that as you go into the Jordan Center tonight, you're going to see the best of the best. You're going to see the best team, best wrestlers, best coaches, best staff, best fans, all wrapped into one tonight. It's not like that everywhere. In fact, it's not even remotely close almost everywhere else. It's not as if, though, there isn't some expansion. I know they would love to get wrestling to 100 programs in the country within the next 5 to 10 years. Right now, they're at 76. Okay? They're going to add 3. In the next year or so, like Arkansas, Little Rock, I want to say Long Island, and I can't remember the third one, to get it to 79. But there are inherent problems with an athletic department doing this. And it really is going to come down to, is there enough money out there to endow programs? But don't be in your own cocoon tonight when it comes to your sport. Because, as I've said before, if it ever does get to the point where they are told, and it's mandated through a court that you have to pay student-athletes, because those lawsuits are out there. And as I pointed out before, they are not confident about the California case they're in right now. And that decision could come down any day now. We all know that they'll go through an appeals process. They may rule it, but then it'll get appealed. It'll start working its way up the ladder. The second that happens, now big decisions have to be made by athletic departments. Where do you come up and what do you do with the money? Penn State won't drop wrestling, so you as a fan will have no issue. The problem will be, you might have 50 schools who do. And that becomes a problem because they're not going to sit there and want, I mean, as great as Penn State wrestling is, I mean, good, you've got the best coach, the best coaching staff, the best wrestlers, the best team, the best staff surrounding it, and absolutely the best fans. The most sophisticated. They sense when something big is going to happen. They sense when something great is going to happen. They also sense when disaster might happen.
You wonder if something like that would happen if maybe one or two, if that make two top, one or two tops in the Big Ten would drop wrestling?
Well, here's what they need. Okay, you want to give wrestling a real big boost and a big shot in the arm? Right. What gave ice hockey an incredible shot in the arm? Oh, my goodness. Penn State is adding ice hockey. Well, that brought with it, in the ice hockey world, wow. That's what wrestling needs. They need a Power 5 school, Clemson, to add wrestling, to bring it back. That's what they need. They need Texas, like a marquee name, to add it. It's great that Arkansas Little Rock's adding it. It's great that LIU is going to add it. Okay, that's fine. All right. At least it's an addition. You're not subtracting anymore. So that part's fine. Fresno State's already added it. But what you need is USC to add it, Notre Dame to add it. You need to have a brand name, household, knock it out of the park name to add the sport, like Penn State did with ice hockey. That's what you need. Because right now, in the Power 5 group, take the Big Ten out of it. That's 51 other schools. Only 14 of those 51 have wrestling. That's it. There's no Power 5 conference except for the Big Ten that has more than 50% participation in the sport.
I believe it was earlier this decade that Temple added it, but a club sport. Now it's club at this point.
Yeah, but club sports, just it's with all the other club sports in that budget, it doesn't do any good. You're not competing for anything, and no offense, but you know how I talked about in the NCAA basketball tournament that and the suit was always big on Cinderella, the little guy all the time. And I said, look, Cinderella's adorable in the first round. Everybody loves her. The Cinderella team wins, knocks the big guy off. They love it. Who the heck knocked off Michigan State in the first round 2 years ago? It was Kermit Davis, Middle Tennessee State. Okay, really good mid-major program. Kermit's now the head coach at Ole Miss.
I think it was, a 2-15, right? Some matchup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's whatever, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Loyola,
okay.
Chicago last year?
Yeah. Yeah, with Sister Jean. Yep. UMBC beat Virginia 16. Okay, it's adorable. The problem comes is that, you know what you notice? Is when Cinderella gets to the Sweet 16, it's always the lowest rated game of the weekend. You know the lowest rated Final Four game in the last 20 years? Butler against Virginia Commonwealth. Hey, people are like, oh, okay, well, where's Kentucky? Where's Duke? Okay, Cinderella does not interest the casual fan. Cinderella interests the casual fan early in the tournament when they're trying to have fun picking upsets, but in terms of, like, wanting to watch them, no. They want to see Zion Williamson. That's just the way it is. So when it comes to wrestling, yeah, it's great that, right now, you've got 13 other programs in the Big Ten that have it. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, obviously really good. You know, there are moments where Virginia and Virginia Tech can be really good, especially Virginia Tech can be really good. But you got to, with all due respect, please, don't take any offense to this, okay? But you've got a lot of Bloomsburg, Millersburg, Edinburghs, and so forth that outside of this state, everybody goes, okay, what state are they in? Cal Bakersfield. If it wasn't for the Cal part, people wouldn't know where it was. See, it's, of the 76, you've got a lot of those. Of the 76, you have 48 non-Power 5 schools out of the 76. That's too high a percentage. Now, basketball has obviously an exponentially higher percentage of non-Power 5 schools because there's 353 to 65. But see, all 65 have basketball. What would really help to knock it out of the park, in my opinion, would be a couple of Power 5 schools saying, you know what, we're going to add it. Now, that sends a ripple. Right? Instead of throwing the pebble into the pond and getting this little ripple going toward the shore, now you're taking a boulder, you're tossing it, and you get some waves coming to the shore. Now, that would be something. And what's interesting is that the Power 5 schools have more money to play with than a smaller school does. But, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but you always do have to factor in the Title IX part of it, because if you do add wrestling, which you're not going to make money in, remember how I just outlined Penn State's situation moments ago, Sean? Hey, best coach, best staff, best wrestlers, most exciting program, best fans, sellouts, so forth. They lose $1 million a year. So if they're not making money, you're not making money. But you also have to add in a Title IX component. And that's also a program that's not going to make money. So now you're sitting there and as an athletic director, and you're adding, okay, adding in this sport. This is great. People are going to love it. I know we won't make money on it, but they're going to love it. We're going to lose some money, but we can take the hit. But the problem is you then add in another sport. Now it's a double whammy. You're taking a double hit. You got to be able to absorb it or have a program that's already large enough where you already have the numbers skewed in your direction anyway, and you can do it without adding a sport. I think it's an interesting topic to discuss. It's an interesting topic to be realistic about. It's an interesting topic to attempt to take the emotion out of it. Right? I've taken all the emotion out of it. I've talked about it as logically as I can, and I think this dual meet, dynamic, exciting. This is the kind of dual meet I would want to bring Power 5 athletic directors to. Say, look, this is what it can be, and show them. Okay? Bring them into the Jordan Center. Have them meet. Have them see it and say, wow, this is what you can have. For example, I'll tell you right now, if Clemson were to add it, say Clemson added it. Say they did. Cale would bring his team down to Little John and wrestle there. Because he sees the big picture. He's one of the few guys in wrestling that sees the big picture, and that's a big problem. You do not have a lot of big picture people helping to run the sport outside of a Cale Sanderson. You don't have a lot of big picture people. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling at 4:06. And the Prince of Peace in the final half hour. Maybe not. Probably not. We'll just go with the king.
The most interesting man in New England.
Hard to debate.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. We're also brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, and Ports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels of the Dills, indeed second to none. Bud and Bud Light 30 packs, just $18.88. Reds Wicked Sour Apple and Watermelon 12 packs, $7.97. Labatt and Labatt Light 16-ounce 24-pack cans, $19.95. Pacifico 12-pack cans, $4.95. Those are your specials now through Tuesday at Brewers Outlet as you get ready for the Super Bowl. Let's bring in Nate Bauer, Bluewood Illustrated, rehabbing his knee and trying to get himself back on track. Nate, great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Steve. What's going on?
Oh, just another night at the office.
Sure.
All right, let's.
It's terrible. Why would anybody want to go outside right now? Let's just hibernate. Call it a day.
Well, I'd call it a day, except I almost went over today and knocked balls in the simulator.
Oh?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. But then I got tied up doing a couple of other things work-wise, so I couldn't quite,
you know what? I like where your head's at, though. I mean, you're thinking ahead, you know? You're in the right place mentally. That's good.
So let's get to last night. You're down. I want to get to the Lamar Stevens play at the end.
Yep.
Because you're up two. You've got the ball. And he goes to the bucket with, I want to say there were six on the shot clock. So, I mean, he's got to go.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he's got to go. Either go or pass it or whatever. No gel Eastern. Hey, doesn't graze him. He takes him and hooks the arm.
Yep.
He loses the ball out of bounds. Now, they review it to see if it's off him. They cannot review, just so everyone, they can't review and say, oh, it was a foul. Wait a minute. They can't do that.
Right.
What were your thoughts on that? Because, look, from my angle, I couldn't tell, so we didn't really talk too much about it. I didn't look at that until later. So what did you think?
I thought it was a foul based on – so two things, Steve. you know, I run an in-game chat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blue White Illustrated. So anytime the game's going on, I'm just making comments and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the four people that are interested usually get back to me.
Yeah, I mean, Dick Girardi and I run an in-game chat, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. Yeah. And, you know, I hate to call myself a cynic, but, you know, maybe at about 3 minutes to go, I made a post that said, Penn State is going to try to get to the hoop as much as they can, but guess what? They are not going to draw a foul from here until the end of the game based on the amount of talking that Matt Painter had been doing. I mean, I was watching it the whole game.
Right.
There was a huge discrepancy. It wasn't to the level of Maryland-Penn State earlier this season, but there was a pretty big discrepancy, 35 to 12 or 14 or whatever it was at that point in terms of free throws taken. So I had a feeling it didn't matter what Lamar did or what they did at that point in the game. They were not going to get a trip to the line. When the play actually happened, I thought it was a foul. But I also in no way was surprised that he didn't draw it. What was interesting to me is not that so much that he didn't get the call, but and you know this, and I know this, officials have opportunities to correct their wrongs, okay? And so was the ball off of Lamar going out of bounds? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no way that they did not see the foul. right?
Right.
And so sometimes in those situations, you've seen it, I've seen it, there are creative ways to say Penn State ball, Penn State possession. Even if he doesn't get the trip to the line, that's what officiating or officials do in those situations. Is they see it, they know they were wrong, they know they missed it, and they find a way to make it up. Obviously that didn't happen last night, and Penn State paid for it.
Okay. Lamar was rather direct about it after the game. You asked him
sure.
the question, and he, you know.
Sure was.
Well, but not just direct. He was not incorrect.
Right. Right. I was As a journalist, I was actually kind of happy the way that it played out because I just wanted to give him an opportunity to say whatever he wanted to say,
right?
And he obviously Patrick Chambers, he said that he hadn't seen it. He didn't know if it was a foul. And Pat's, as you know and I know, has kind of been through enough
sure.
this season. Yeah. Chose not to take that route. Lamar's not under the same constraints.
That's exactly right.
And so for a kid, NCAA, right? He has earned the right. He has earned in that situation that call. And not a controversial call, not a 50-50 call, not the Dupree call at the end of the Minnesota game.
Right, with Miles Dredd, yeah.
Right? So we're not talking about something that could go either way and your star player just didn't get the call. Or your star player does get the call. It's not that. This is a blatant foul. And he called it for what it was. He said, look, he said that could have decided the game, but you know what he meant? It did decide the game. And we can go round and round about, yeah, Penn State, with 13 seconds to play, still had an opportunity to defend. They still had one last shot with 5 seconds to play. That's all fine. But for all intents and purposes, if Lamar Stevens goes to the free throw line, as he should have, as not just for the play itself, but also as the junior returning all Big Ten forward, the star player, the guy who's been through it all, he should be at the line. And if he gets there, maybe that's a game where Penn State has a 4-point lead with 13 seconds to play, which ultimately is a win.
And under the category of to help everyone know the game a little bit better, there was a gigantic reason why there was a free throw discrepancy in the game. A huge reason. If you know the game, you know what I mean. If you're shooting threes, which is what Purdue did a lot of last night, and by the way, to their credit, they shot them effectively last night. Edwards and Klein were tremendous. You're not going to get as many trips to the free throw line because you're playing the game outside. The team that plays downhill is the team that's at least going to open the door to more opportunities to get to the line because you're trying to play the game in the paint. That's why Penn State had more free throw opportunities in the game than Purdue. The discrepancy wasn't because Penn State was getting this awesome whistle all night long. It's because style of play.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I mean, they Steve, you saw it. They weren't within 6 inches of the 3-point line. They were
way
24,
up.
25, 26 yeah. foot 3-pointers that those guys were taking. I mean, Penn State. Chambers talked about it afterwards about how you think that they had a game plan for Edwards. Well, there really isn't a game plan for a kid that's taking shots 28, 29 feet away from the basket. I mean, it was just it was the thing that stood out to me that was funny to me is you know him, I know him. Jerry Palm is right?
Sure.
Big Purdue fan, yep. And I was watching his Twitter feed, and the thing that just tickled me was, him talking about how, as Purdue does always on the road, they weren't playing very well. He made a comment, something along those lines, early in the second half, and I was like, dude, did you watch the first half? They shot 80%
amazing,
10.5 minutes of that game. It
amazing offensive performance. Amazing offensive performance.
Unbelievable.
But then from the 10-minute mark till the end of the game, Purdue had one really great spurt. They held Purdue at only 35 points the second half, 5 points below their average per half in the second along the way. And they, you know, you climb back from 17 points down against a team that's red hot, that just beat Michigan State. That's got to tell you something.
Absolutely. I said it last night. I could not, you know, look, this program, there's no sugarcoating it. This is the nightmare.
Right? Sure it is.
It could not go worse than this. To be honest with you,
yes, it can. And let me explain the comment. I've done seasons. Obviously, this is the 37th one I've done. So I've done seasons where there have been 5 to 10 20-point losses in a season.
No doubt.
Let's be honest, Nate. When that happens, your team is not competitive. Okay? Yep. That's exponentially worse. This is harder to take, but that's exponentially worse. This team is absolutely competitive. They just can't get the wheels over the last speed bump.
Yep, which you know, in my mind, makes it that much more demoralizing for these guys. Is they are in every game, but at some point, you know, it was so funny to me hearing Matt Painter reel it off as quickly as he did. He didn't need a minute to say that Penn State had been competitive or within a possession or two in 7 out of their 10 losses. He knew the number.
Right.
He was like, as soon as he was asked, he was like, yeah, they've been in 7 out of the Big Ten. 7 out of the 10 Big Ten games that they've...
He listens to the broadcast. We can see the ratings.
Fair enough. Yeah, but, you know, so people know, people, you know, there's no coach around the league who's looking at this team and is saying, oh, well, this is a bottom feeder. They are just as competitive and just as good as any of those 6 teams above them that separate them from,
right.
You know, 8 or 9 in the league. So it's just I thought, given the circumstances last night, to be in this situation, to be 0-9, and then to come out and actually play okay, right? You know, that it was 11-11 early.
Yeah.
And to be in that spot and then just take a gut punch. I mean, Edwards just went nuts. Klein just went nuts.
Yeah.
And within a blink of an eye, they're down 24-12. 24-11. I found it so impressive that they managed to keep their composure in that situation and kept playing.
What Penn State needed last night in terms of Edwards was somewhere halfway between what they saw last night and the 4-for-19 he had against Michigan State. I mean, if it's anywhere in between there, even 2/3 of the 4-for-19, Penn State wins the game last night. He was I've obviously seen him in person more than you have.
Yep.
He was unbelievable. I mean, that's the best I've ever seen in him. I've seen him have great games in person. And not just in other games besides Penn State, because you get to see him in tournaments.
Right. Yeah, and I don't remember what his line was at the Garden last year, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good
in that game too.
Yeah. He was the separator
To be honest, I thought that the cruel irony was that because he had had that game and played as well as he had, that sequence at the end of the game was actually perfect for Penn State. He took that shot, and it was a horrible shot whatever it was, 40 seconds play. That was exactly what you want.
Sure,
you want him to take that shot.
Yes, you do.
I mean, and you know, maybe it goes in, and you live with it if it does. But you know, Penn State was in position. They had the opportunity, and you know, unfortunately. You know, for Penn State, the officiating crew just, at best, being generous, they blew it.
Well, that's generous. Okay.
But
if you're interested in the future of Penn State basketball, Dredd hits a 3 to tie it at 81. Bolton hits a floater to put them in front 85-83. You saw the kids last night in the clutch make some plays for them.
Yep. No doubt. And I thought John and, you know, some of the rebounds that he came down with, you know, were pretty good. I thought that Wheeler was a pest defensively. He really did a nice job in the second half, particularly. You know, they have key components that you can understand you know, there are reasons for optimism. I understand that everybody wants blood right now. I get it. I get where this program is in terms of the micro level looking at the season. Nobody is satisfied with 0-10, not least of all the people in that building.
Of course not. No.
You know, but it, you know, when your true freshman, who, let's be honest, there were some times earlier this season in November and December where those guys were liabilities. You know, Rozier could not have had a worse game at DePaul.
That's right.
You know, there were other games where I'm not going to say that they single-handedly lost, but, you know, they needed Miles to shoot well, and he went through a pretty long streak, a pretty bad spell there towards the beginning of the season, you know, where they really could have used those guys. Well, guess what? Now you're kind of turning the corner in the Big Ten season, and for all of the woes that this team is currently experiencing on the level of wins and losses, yeah, it's horrible. Nobody's happy with that. But
nobody is. But again, I go back to the fact that you are not losing 5 to 10 games by 20 points or more. In other words, you're losing these games, which just emotionally crush you because you're so close. But non-competitive teams don't play those games like last night.
Nope. And you want to see development, right? You want to see things get better and things improve. Offense has been dreadful.
Yeah.
It's just been awful.
They scored
90 points last night and 85 in regulation. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like we've been talking all season about a bounce or a shot, you know, this or that being the difference going their way. There was nothing unusual last night. Like there was
nope.
Nothing that I watched and was like, oh well, Penn State's just hot or Penn State is just getting lucky. It wasn't any of that. They just went toe to toe with arguably the hottest team in the league in Purdue.
And if they keep their wits about them and continue on a path of improvement, the schedule now turns a bit.
Absolutely.
After last night. Now the schedule turns a bit to some games that, to me, fall into the this is a 50-50 game, regardless of where the game is being played.
Yep. It's kind of tough, Steve, because, and you know this, and I thought this even from the get-go, but it seemed to me like the way that the schedule was shaping up, the most winnable games in terms of a head-to-head matchup were all on the road. And the games that they were almost certain to lose in terms of talent-wise not being on the same level were all at home.
Except for Rutgers.
Except for Rutgers.
The Rutgers one is the one that has everybody, I mean, really upset because it's Rutgers.
Yep. Okay. But Rutgers is not Rutgers right now either. I mean,
They muck the game up. I mean, they really do. They're an interesting team that presents, in my opinion, because I watched the Indiana game the other night too, and I had watched the Nebraska game before that. They're an interesting team to watch because they present a gigantic issue for officials.
To
how they play. They really do create a big, because you don't want to call everything. Now the game's stopping every 2 seconds. I mean, no offense, but that's how they play. They have to muck the game up to get where they're going. And to their credit, they've won 3 in a row, so they've been able to at least find the Jersey Turnpike and move.
Yep, it is exactly what James Franklin talks about with Michigan's corners.
Yes, yeah, he's exactly right. They muck the game up.
Yeah, you can't call pass interference on every single play. And so when you get into that style of a game and that opponent, that's what happens. Officials don't feel confident doing that, and they don't want to be that much of a part of the game. But sometimes teams force you into that, and that's what not to mention the fact that Geo Baker is a stud.
Yeah, Geo's played really well. It's helped him a lot.
He's electric. He's electric. Yep. But if you're looking through the rest of the schedule, there isn't a game on the schedule that you would say Penn State had been favored to win otherwise.
Right.
So out of 10 games, 9 of them you're an underdog. It has been a very, very tough confluence of a little bit of bad luck, a little bit of your own doing in terms of free throws against Indiana.
No doubt.
You know, but now, like you said, you go on the road to Northwestern. That's a game that you can win.
Right.
You go on the road to Ohio State. Tough place to play, but that's a game that maybe you can win. You know, and then they go back around. They get to see some of these teams a second time that they were competitive for at least half of the game against Michigan, and then, you know, obviously Purdue and Nebraska. So we'll see what happens. But you know, last night was just, you know, the perfect epitome of Penn State basketball, and, you know, kind of what happens to them and what happens by them. You know, that little combination that just seems to play itself out on a nightly basis.
Nate, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Hope rehab's going well.
Going great. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not easy, but, you know, you'll get there. I mean, you know,
I'll be back.
You know, I mean, some people say your injury is an 8-month thing before you get back out in the field. I mean, you know, I mean, you sit in front of me all the time. I'd say 11 months.
Hey, 4 months. I got 16 weeks until I can golf with a brace.
Yeah.
And then I'm in the brace for the whole golf season.
Okay.
And then I'm out of it in September. So I should be back to a 5 handicap by next July 2020. I'm going to be on it.
Is it your front leg or your back leg?
It's the front, the left. As I like to say, the tiger injury.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, to be honest with you, it's the first time I've ever heard two of you compared.
Well, you haven't been listening to the right people. There's a lot of times we get confused with each other. Same physique.
You know, funny, I covered the U.S. Open. Rory McIlroy never brought it up.
you weren't asking the right questions, Steve.
I feel awful. I mean, when I talked to Jordan Spieth about it, never came up. All right.
Yeah. Oh, next time.
Hey, Nate, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Steve.